Avodah Zarah, Per Gimel, Mishnah Tes 3:9. We continue on the restrictions of getting benefit from an idol tree, the Asherah. It says, Natal Mimena Eitzim. If a Jew took wood from that idol tree, that wood remains Aser Bahana. If the Gentile took it and he's really breaking the tree, so that would be different, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. But if the Jew took it, so the wood is forbidden to get benefit from it. And what if he did? What if Hisik Behenesat Tanur? What if he used them to heat up his oven? So the tanurim, the ovens in the time of the Mishnah, were these kind of conical clay attached to the ground structures. And the first time you use the oven by heating the inside of it up with the fire, that cures the oven. It tempers it so it's hard, the moisture comes out, and the oven works better, which means that the oven itself is improved by the wood burning in it. So if it's the very first time that you're using this oven and you're using forbidden wood, your oven benefits from the forbidden wood in a way that would make the whole oven forbidden. And therefore, says the Mishnah, im chadash, if the oven is a brand new, never before used oven, yutatz, the oven now has to be destroyed. V'im yashan, if the oven, the tanur, is an old oven, meaning it's been used at least once before, so then it's been cured and the clay is hardened, but still the heat that's generated from the burning wood is forbidden, and therefore yutzan, you have to cool it off. Let it cool off before you can use it to bake any bread. If you didn't, afabo esapas, if you cooked bread in that forbidden oven, so now your bread becomes forbidden because the heat that was generated by the burning wood is now sort of invested in the bread, okay? It's like the bread now like is a receptacle of where the forbid Isser once was. It's called Shevach. Atse isur bapas. The benefit of the prohibited wood is now inside the bread, right? Because the bread generated the energy that was latent in the bread. The chemical energy was released, and like now it's invested in making baked bread. So therefore, asur bahana, the whole bread becomes forbidden. Nisarva bacheros, if the one loaf you made gets mixed up with other loaves, so let's say you have one forbidden loaf that was cooked in this oven with the forbidden wood, and nine other loaves that are totally permitted, so then, kula nasuros bahana. All 10 of the mixture now become forbidden to get any benefit from. Now that's amazing because the usual rule is if you have a mixture where there's no mixing of taste, that's called a yavish b'yavish, two dry things, two dry loaves that aren't being mixed together in terms of taste, and they're min b'mino, they're the same bread and bread. So that being the case, the rule usually is that there's a bittel b'rov, if you have a majority of permitted and a minority forbidden, the whole mixture becomes permitted. But here we're being strict. That's peculiar. Now, why would that be? There's two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach is that there are essentially a list of what's called nine different reasons why something is not batal barov, or batal at all, devarim she'enem misbatlin, they don't become batal. And one of those is a davar shebeminyan, things that are so significant that you count them individually one by one, which would be the case for like a private person. When she bakes her challahs, each bread is like a standalone challah. She counts them one at a time. They're distinct. And therefore, they're too chashuv, too significant to become batel. If that is the approach, then if these breads were breads that came off like of a baker's production line, so then there's like, you know, they sell the loaves, the bagels are there by the dozen. They're not individually counted, and actually it would be different, perhaps. The other approach is that the rabbis just restrict across the board when it comes to getting benefit from idolatrous things, and therefore they're strict here. So even though usually it would be batel barov, but here it's not. Whatever the case is, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yolich Hana Liyam HaMelech. Rabbi Eliezer says, listen, now that you've got a mixture here, you're it's only rabbinic in nature because Midoraisa is a batel barov, and therefore, if you would take the value of the forbidden loaf, and some have learned the value of the forbidden wood, but let's say the loaf, so now, and you throw that money into the Dead Sea, so now you've lost that value, in which case you're net-net not getting any benefit from the mixture because whatever you gained in terms of that loaf, you've lost in terms of what went into the sea. So it offsets. And it's kind of like pidyon, like, you know, redemption, kind of like, you know, if you have, let's say, for example, Meister Sheni, which has got consecrated status, you can redeem the sanctity onto a coin, bring the coin to Yerushalayim, eat the, you know, buy new things there and so on. So you can sort of, it's sort of fungible, the Kedusha can be transferred off. So the same, it's kind of like that in the minds of the Chacham, that you're sort of, Rabbi Eliezer is attempting to sort of remove the status of Isser, if you will, onto the coins, which are thrown into the sea, something like that. But the Rabbanim, the Chacham, reject that altogether. They say, Amrulo, Ein Pidyon L'Avodah Zarah, nothing like that exists in the context of the restriction of Avodah Zarah, so there's no way to redeem and remove the Isser off of these this forbidden loaf and the mixture, and therefore it all remains forbidden in its entirety. The halacha is going to be like Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that if you have a mixture, if you have just one loaf, it's usser, because it's worse than just zev zeh gorim. We pass on zev zeh gorim is actually mutter, but it's worse because you have the shevach of the improvement that come into the wood, from the wood into the loaf. So a single loaf is for sure asr l'halacha. If you have a mixture, it becomes mutter like Rabbi Eliezer, just to throw the value that you would otherwise gain into the sea. And there's a machlokas l'achronim, if you're allowed to eat the loaves or just sort of sell them on, but put that aside. Now, the second part of the Mishnah is really the same thing again. Instead of getting firewood, you're getting a wood to make like a weaver's pick, something that's used as a tool to do weaving. And then you're going to be, you know, making, you know, a shirt out of, you're weaving a shirt using the tool that you got from the idolatrous tree, the Asherah. The principles are the exact same. The reason why the Mishnah repeats itself essentially is because this is much more strict, because when it comes to bread, so at least you have like the shevach of the wood now in the bread. Here, the weaver's pick is getting used up or like converted into something else. It's just being used as a tool to manufacture these shirts. And nevertheless, we're still strict. And both sides, meaning Rabbi Eliezer is to lean into both cases, and the Chum are still strict in both cases. So we have to have both cases included here. But halacha like Rabbi Eliezer, you actually can, like I said before, dispose of the value to offset if you have a mixture of Isser and Heter. Okay, anyways, the Mishnah says inside, Natal Hemena Karkor, if you took from the idolatrous tree, the Jew did, like a wood to make a karkor, or sometimes karkar, like a weaver's pick, Asur Bahana, you can benefit from that weaver's pick. Aragbo Esa Beged, if you use that tool to weave a garment, Habeged Asur Bahana, the whole garment becomes forbidden to get benefit from. Nis Arv Bacherim, if that one garment gets mixed in with other garments, so then, even if vacherem vacherem, even if the mixture gets mixed up with another mixture, so then, even so, kulan asur and bahana, it's never batal, so we have to be strict and true to all as being asur. It sounds like that's innovation from the previous case, because this case has the mixture getting mixed in a second time, but the truth is, the girsos themselves sometimes would have either neither of the mixtures getting mixed in, or both by bread and by the weaver's pick, mixtures getting mixed in. In any case, if that were the innovation here, we could have just had the mixture of loaves getting mixed in with more loaves. Why did it come onto weaver's pick? So that wouldn't explain why we have two separate cases here. Putting that aside, there is a discussion in the Gemara, Machlokas Amoraim, what happens if a minority of the mixture got mixed into a majority of a second mixture? Okay, because the issue kind of here is we're sort of saying it's like a fake sfeika perhaps. But anyways, putting it all aside, the Mishnah is coming out and saying, the thing that we're taught, according to the Chum, the thing which is forbidden is always forbidden, and if it gets mixed in with more mixes and mixes and mixes, still, it's all status of suffix, and it's all forbidden. And Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Yolech Lahanali, Yom HaMelech, he says, no, you can just cast into the Dead Sea the value of the forbidden item to offset it, and that's going to work. Amrulo, but the rabbis said again, they don't agree with that. Ein Pidin Lavodazar, you can't do this kind of like transferring of restriction onto coins to offset the loss. It doesn't work. Say the Chacham, halach again like Rabbi Yisrael, like you actually in fact can do that if it's a mixture, to throw away the value and keep the mixture, and like you net don't get any benefit.